Okay, we're going to get started this evening as people are finding their ways to their seats. Even though we have a business meeting scheduled for this evening, I wanted to continue in our regular study that we're doing here on Wednesday nights, which is through Christ's High Priestly Prayer, a study that I've titled, That the Son Might Glorify You. That's taken from verse 1 of John 17, and this phrase really is the central theme of this prayer. Everything that Jesus prays for in John 17 is laser focused on this one desire that he has, that God would be glorified here on earth. And Jesus has three ways in which he plans to glorify his Father here on earth that he gives us in John 17, and that is through his cross. We see that in verses 1 through 5. That is through his companions. That's in verses 6 through 19, those 11 faithful disciples. And then through his church. That's in verses 20 through 26. So we've already worked through Jesus' plan to glorify his Father through the cross, and now we're working through the second step in Jesus' plan, and that is to glorify the Father through his companions. And it is in this point of John 17 that we get a good glimpse of Jesus' intercessory work on our behalf. As Jesus looks past the cross, he anticipates his ascension into the presence of God, and he anticipates the future needs of his followers after he departs. And beginning in verse 11, Jesus starts to show us the content of his intercession, what he prays for on our behalf. And he prays for four primary things. He prays for our sustained preservation through holiness. He prays for our supreme pleasure in God. He prays for our spiritual protection amid evil. And he prays for our sanctified purity by Scripture. And we've already seen Jesus pray for our sustained preservation in verses 11 through 12 and our supreme pleasure in verses 11 through 13. So tonight, in the few minutes I have, we're going to look at Jesus pray for our spiritual protection in the midst of evil in verses 14 through 15. And then next week in verses 16 through 19, we'll study how Jesus prays for our sanctified purity by means of the Scriptures. So this is how Jesus prays for his companions and indirectly through them for us. And so with that in mind, I'm going to read John 17, 10 through 19, and then we'll pray and jump into the devotional. Jesus says this in John 17, verse 10. He says, "All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction, that the Scriptures might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity we have to gather together this evening as a church, to first gather around your word and rejoice in the truth and the glory that we see therein. And then as we get to discuss the business of what you are doing through your people here in Grace Chapel. Father, we thank you for your grace and your spirit that is at work. And we pray that that would be what we see and what we rejoice over this evening as we've gathered together as a church. May you be honored and glorified from the very beginning to the very end. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So after Jesus prays for the sustained preservation through holiness and the supreme pleasure in God for his companions, he then turns to pray, importantly, for their spiritual protection amidst evil. That's in verses 14 through 15 where Jesus says, "I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one." I can think of no prayer request more immediately apparent and relevant than this one right here. We live in a world that hates God's truth, and therefore that hates God's people. We are being reminded increasingly so every day that there is nothing more dangerous in this darkening world right now than to hold fast to the Word of God and the good news of Jesus Christ. And Jesus knew that this would be the world that we would live in. And so he prays for our spiritual protection amid evil. And he begins this prayer for us in verse 14 by saying, I have given them your word. And Jesus really did. He came as the greatest preacher and teacher that the world had ever known. He revealed the intent of the law when you study the Gospels, and he revealed the intent of human hearts, and he revealed God himself. As John 1:18 states, the only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known. When Jesus was on earth, he delivered God's word faithfully to his people. As Jesus said in John 12:49, the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment. He has told me what to say and what to speak. And then again in John 15:15, all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. So Jesus delivered God's word to his followers faithfully. And that's what makes us different. And that's why Jesus starts here. This is what makes us different. This is what God used to separate us from the world. We received with meekness, Scripture says, the implanted word, which is able to save our souls, James 1:21 says. It made us wise to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus, as 2 Timothy 3:15 says. And in that moment, God transferred us out of the domain of darkness and into the kingdom of his beloved Son. That's great news for us. But if you've ever read Screwtape Letters, it's really bad news for Satan. And it instantly makes us enemies of Satan and of the world. And that's what the end of verse 14 says. Because Christ has given to us God's word and the gospel by which we have been saved, it says, and the world has hated them. Now that doesn't mean that the planet Earth hates us. That's not what that word world means. It means this present world's system hates us as followers of Christ. There is an organized, godless, satanic agenda that rules and influences the institutions and actions of humanity. That's not a conspiracy theory. That is Scripture. And it is characterized across all cultures by a deep-seated hatred for believers. Now, that's no fun when we think about it, but that's the world that we live in. I mean, who wants to be hated? We all want to be loved. That is a common human disposition. Everyone wants to be loved. And so why is the world arrayed in settled opposition to believers? Why do they hate us? Jesus tells us it's because they, that is meaning us, we who have received Christ's words, they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. That's why the world hates us. It's because Jesus says we are not of the world. We do not belong to or subscribe to the world's systems of thought and desires. Just like Jesus is not of the world, right? He doesn't belong to or subscribe to the world's systems of thoughts or desires either. He is a king of another kingdom with another code of ethics, unlike the one that we see in this world. And his decrees and his desires that he has given to us do not line up with the decrees and desires of this world. We stand for truth. We believe that God created all things, that there is an eternal, intelligent first cause of this universe as Christians. Right? We believe humanity was created unique from the animal kind in the image of God, possessing inherent value and worth, and therefore the destruction of that image, even in the womb, is murder. We believe that God created humanity unchangeably as male and female. We believe that God created marriage as between one man and one woman for fruitfulness and for life to spring forth. These are basic ontological truths of nature and of reality that are revealed to us in God's word, and yet we're hated for holding even, if you've looked around, even those basic truths, because those truths stand in the way of the destructive agenda of Satan, who's behind everything that's happening in this world. He is the prince of the power of the age. He is the God of this world, as Jesus said, and he is continually deceiving the nations. Even right now, he has created a solidified agenda against the word of God and those who hold to it, who share it, and who teach it. And that is why we, who have had our eyes open to the truth, and who believe the truth and who stand in the truth, that's why we're going to be hated by those who are given over to suppressing the truth for a lie. It's because God's truth always confronts Satan's lies. As Jesus said back in John 15:18-19, if the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it ever hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own, because you are not of this world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. It's always been this way, ever since Cain killed Abel. The world hates God and his truth, and therefore hates God's people when they walk in it. And therefore, how does Jesus pray for his people? He prays in this way in verse 15. He says, I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. I want you to notice, it's important for us to remember that Jesus begins this prayer request by saying, I do not ask that you take them out of the world. Brothers and sisters, Christ wants us to stay in this world. He wants us to stay in this wicked, corrupt, sinful age. You say, well, why? I mean, why doesn't he just take us home? Why doesn't he get us out of here and just spring us straight into heaven? Well, I could answer that in many ways, but I think the simplest answer is actually found later on in verses 20 through 21, where Jesus says, I do not ask for these only, but for those who will believe in me through their word. End of verse 21. So that the world may believe that you have sent me. In short, you're still in this sinful world because God is concerned about saving more sinners than just you, believer. In fact, he has saved you so that the others might believe in Christ through your word. You are not the end of Christ's salvation. You are the conduit of God's salvation to others. You and your confession of the truth are the means by which God intends to save others far beyond you, so that God, as the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, might be more greatly honored and glorified here on earth. There's still work to be done. And so Christ reminds us here in this prayer that we are not called to withdraw from this world because it's getting more and more evil. We are called to overcome this world and to engage it and to reach it for Christ. So Christ doesn't ask that we would be taken out of this world, and neither should we. We have to realize that God has kept us here for a purpose. And so rather than ask that God would take us out of the world, we ought to pray that God would make us effective in it. And Jesus prays to that end. He says, I do not pray that you would take them out of this world, but that you would keep them from the evil one. That word keep means to watch over. It means to preserve, protect, defend. And so Jesus prays here in our mission to save the lost for the glory of God that we would be kept safe spiritually. You say, safe from what? He says, from the evil one. Jesus is praying that we would be kept safe from the snares of the devil and from the evil that he's perpetrating here on earth. Satan exists. He's a real spiritual enemy and adversary at work. He's like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. And so Jesus prays that while we're here on earth, that we would be protected from the onslaught of the evil that he knew would come our way and would come out on the other side as more than conquerors through him who loves us. So for the glory of God and the honor of Jesus Christ, we need to be in the world. But Jesus also reminds us we should never be of it. As Jude 22 through 23 calls us to, we must have mercy on those who doubt, save others by snatching them out of the fire, to others show mercy with fear, listen to this, hating even the garments stained by the flesh. That's exactly what Jesus is praying for here, that as ambassadors for Jesus Christ, we would be in the world, but that the world would never ever be in us. That we would be protected from the evil one. And then finally, I want to remind us all with the good news that, praise God, we are. We are. We do not have to fear Satan overpowering us in our mission to honor and glorify Jesus Christ in this world. We are protected amid evil. One, I can say that because Christ prays for this very thing. And the prayers of the Son are always a reflection of the will of the Father. And second, we know that we are protected amid evil because God has promised this very thing just as Jesus prays. Jesus taught earlier back in John chapter 10 verses 28 through 29, I give them eternal, unbroken life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hands. Not even the devil himself is able to pry us loose from God the Father and God the Son's hands. As Romans 8:39 says, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. For as 1 John 4:4 says, he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. As we live in an ever darkening world, as we raise our own children and grandchildren in an ever darkening world, we do not need to despair, thinking that there is no hope and that they cannot stand for the glory of Christ in our generation. They absolutely can. Christ knew this day was coming, and he prayed for those who would trust in him, that they could take a stand for the truth and for the gospel in their day. And so these are glorious promises. These are glorious promises. We march as victors ever unto glory. Just as Psalms 91 states, because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High who is my refuge, no evil shall be allowed to befall you, no plague come near your tent. Because he holds fast to me in love, God says, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in the day of trouble. I will rescue him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my great salvation. The prayers and the promises of our Christ keep us secure. Because of Christ's intercession, we are being spiritually protected amid evil. And so ours is not to worry. Ours is to be faithful in the service of Christ. Therefore, in the midst of an increasingly dark world, let's give Jesus Christ the gratitude and the glory that he deserves. That although in this world we will have tribulation, as he promised us in John 16:33, we should take heart because Christ has already overcome this world. Because of Jesus, we're spiritually protected amid evil. And for that, we should give him thanks. So let's do that this evening, and then we'll begin our business meeting. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for Jesus' ministry on our behalf. We thank you that right now he is at your right hand interceding for us. Father, we thank you that we do not stand in this world by our own strength. We stand because Christ is praying for us. Father, we thank you that we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And Father, in the midst of this dark world, may we shine as lights in this world, knowing that you have given us the grace in Christ Jesus to be faithful in our day. Help us, Father, to exhibit the victory that Christ has already won to those who are around us who are lost and dying and going to hell. Help us to be faithful in proclaiming your word so that, Father, you might work through us to save those whom you have appointed unto eternal life to believe. Give us grace to do that for the rest of this week, even, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.